good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder in the sacred voice of the Ho-Chunk language that I am. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis, and we're on the first floor of the Dayton's building. We support Native artists.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And it's been very good down there, mm-hmm. and we're hoping for bigger and better things, so it's awesome. So one of the things I just got to say real quick is they had a really great ceremony in Madison today, Wendy, that I watched, and we're going to have a Christine White Eagle on, and then we're going to have Dr. Stately, and we don't know how long we can have Dr. Stately. He's not feeling too well, mm-hmm. but under contract, he has to be here. No, I'm just kidding. But we'll see if he comes on, and then you're going to do a sacred animal section, mm-hmm. which we always appreciate. And we appreciate our next person here, Gina Peltier, with the news. Welcome, Gina.
Hey, bonjour, everyone. How's it going? Hey, how did you guys like Honor the Earth's new released video, Down in the River to Pray?
We loved it.
Wasn't that great? Yes.
Yeah, in fact, we're gonna rebroadcast that on Thursday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking about it to see it again, so we're going to rebroadcast that on Thursday. So something to look forward to.
Exactly. Yay! I know. Every single one of Honor the Earth's music videos makes me cry. And even the ones I'm not in, I just get them all emotional about seeing all my family. And, you know, Carrie Pickett and Honor the Earth crew did such an amazing job. Grandmothers in that video, including Winona LaDuke, risked their lives and their freedom, risking arrest to stand for everyone's clean water. And like we've seen with Grandma Jill Ferguson's case, how dangerous it is taking a peaceful stand defending the rights to clean water, that law enforcement don't care who you are and how peaceful you are. They use deadly force. And, you know, I just really want to say that I appreciate Winona LaDuke and Honor the Earth so much. Honor the Earth has so much good work going on, from continuing the fight to stop the flow of the oil through Enbridge's Line 3 and trying to stop Line 5 in Wisconsin, and to supporting all the water protectors who were arrested defending the water in the Line 3 fight. Honor the Earth is also trying hard to stop the toxic OSB lumber mill that the city of Cohasset wants to put up, endangering 7 northern Minnesota Chippewa tribes. Among other projects, like bringing awareness to the company RDO poisoning land with their unnecessary pesticides. So Honor the Earth is also working on land back. Woo, land back. So we can start to fix the land after being poisoned by these negligent corporations. And of course, our hemp and Green New Revolution campaigns. Honor the Earth is doing so much. And I just have to say, you know, water protectors are heroes. I mean, we're out there doing the dirty work and trying to defend everybody's land and water. And Honor proudly employs all these water protectors. So I'm grateful I get to work with my heroes every day, including you and Robert, Wendy. And thank you so much. And also a huge shout out to the keyboard warriors. You know, everyone has their part in this revolution. And speaking of heroes, you know, I'm sorry I wasn't here on Friday to be able to make it for Friday's premiere of the Down in the River to Pray video, because I was honored to be invited to the showing of Warrior Women at the Fargo, North Dakota Environmental Film Festival. I got to sit in with a panel of warrior women heroes, Madonna Thunderhawk, and Marcella Gilbert, and Elizabeth Castle. The film is very empowering, and it's part of history that everyone needs to know about. And I really want to thank those amazing women for welcoming with open arms, and for all the hard work that they do and all the struggles they've endured, and it's not easy, and I appreciate them continuing the fight, and may the force be with them. There is a call to support a bill being passed in Colorado. In March 2022, a bill was presented to create an office to address Indigenous missing and murdered relatives in Denver, Colorado. The bill would join 15 other states that have already adopted the bill. There is concern about the lack of support from Colorado Governor Polis and Lieutenant Governor Provera. So there is an ask to please call Colorado Governor Polis and the Colorado Lieutenant Governor Primavera at 303-866-2471 and their constituent hotline at 303-866-2885 and urge them to support the bill to create an office to address the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. And the phone numbers again are 303-866-2471. And the other one is the 303-866-2885. Indigenous women are 10 times more likely to end up missing and murdered than anybody else in Turtle Island. And we really do need to step up and do more to stop this genocide. And then there is the annual call to shut down Line 5, and that is being held May 13th, 14th, and 15th at the McGulpin Point Lighthouse near an Enbridge pumping station in Mackinac City, Wisconsin. There are activities planned for all 3 days, including ceremonies, marches, a press conference, speakers, music, dance, open mic, an art build, and a seat exchange. And then, so to go ahead and to end with some fabulous news, I want to congratulate Norma Baker Flying Horse. She is with the Hidatsa Dakota Sioux and Anishinaabe from the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation in North Dakota. She earned the title of Designer of the Year with her 10-piece Redberry Woman Collection at Phoenix Fashion Week. Congratulations, Norma Baker. This is quite the accomplishment. And then one more thing before I let you guys go. The U.S. Department of Indian Affairs announced last week that land leasing regulations submitted by 5 federally recognized tribal nations have been approved under the Helping Expedite and Advance Responsible Tribal Home Ownership, Earth Act of 2012. The regulations were submitted by the Kuruk Tribe, Morongo Band of Mission Indians, Norfolk Rancheria of Mono Indians, Pala Band of Mission Indians, and the Pechanga Band of Mission Indians in California. Woo, land back, and that's the type of stuff I like to hear. How does that sound, guys?
That sounds pretty good. Land back for sure.
Yeah, and then so one more thing I would like to mention. I know I'm going to be busy here within the next few months because we do have over 400 people who are still facing courts for the Line 3 battle. And I know this week we have at least 2 hearings, one in Hubbard County and one in Pennington County, both on Wednesday. The Hubbard County one starts at 8:30 and the Pennington County starts at 9 a.m. We will be holding events for those. So we're asking people to please come join us and support these water protectors who risked a lot, you know, their lives and their freedom for everyone's clean water. So since these will be held in the morning, we will be providing breakfast. And go ahead and just check out Honor the Earth's Facebook page for all those events coming up. I really love the fact that Honor the Earth holds these events for our water protectors. It is quite scary going through the court systems. And like the judges do say, it is a public court, and we do have a right to go in there and support our water protectors. So not only do we meet outside in front of the courthouse for a nice little rally, we also are able to go inside and witness, you know, the judicial system at work. And it's quite interesting to see how the judges and the prosecution handle all these cases. So go ahead. And check out Honor the Earth's Facebook page for more information on how you guys can come and join us with those events. You guys, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this.
Great job as always. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're invited to a community meeting on Tuesday, April 26th. The Midtown Phillips Neighborhood Association will host a community discussion about the proposed redevelopment at 2603 Bloomington Avenue. Visit MidtownPhillips.org for developer plans of this six-story building with residential and retail space and a link to join the meeting by Zoom. Again, that's a community discussion about the proposed redevelopment at 2603 Bloomington Avenue on Tuesday, April 26th at 6:30 p.m. Join the Zoom meeting at MidtownPhillips.org.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Things may be getting better, but COVID is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 5 and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 12 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 or received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Getting boosted increases your protection against severe disease from COVID-19. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. I'm texting Brett at the station at AM950, and I'm trying to say MN350. So portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. I do have COVID. I do still have COVID brain.
I want to say, Wendy, this is not a recorded show. This is live. We're on 5 radio stations across Turtle Island.
That's okay.
We've got 200,000 people listening to us. So that's better you than me.
I know. I'm texting right now as I'm talking, so I apologize out there in radio land.
Well, I'm really excited to have this guest on because there's a lot of things that happen in Wisconsin. And as you know, Wendy, we're in Wisconsin. We're in Milwaukee. We're in Madison. And also, well, Chicago isn't Wisconsin, but we're out there, plus the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. Live right now, by the way, Wendy.
Exactly.
But it's part of our charm, I guess, because I can't pronounce anybody's name correctly. So, and Kristen, I think you know that by working with me a little bit. We don't really talk about my job much here at all, but I'm really, really excited to have you on and have you talk a little bit about what happened in Madison today. First I want to welcome you. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, and maybe you can just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we can get into a little bit what happened in Madison today.
Sounds wonderful. Greetings, everybody. Hana, chini karigiwi, ho chankarajara wi pamath karenga naga. Mahite Rajaras, Kristen White Eagle Ga, as Robert had said, introduce myself. My Ho-Chunk name, Wipamuth Karenga, means rainbow. And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity and the honor of just, attending your radio show. I I try to follow along, Robert, as best I can. But as you know, and I'm sure Wendy knows, we have some pretty busy lives and commitments that we have. So I'm so pleased that you asked me to come today. Hopefully, you know, there's something of value that I'll be able to provide and share. So thank you for that. I work as a legislator in the Ho-Chunk Nation, and I am a colleague of Robert Pilots, which I feel is an honor to know Robert and you as well, Wendy. You know, what a great person he is, and everything that you all advocate for and do. I'm honored to be here today. So I want to thank you for that. I am in my second term right now. We have 4-year terms on our legislature and now deep into my second term, just starting to get into that completion of that first year in the second term. So I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, and we are too. And I think, you know, it's funny, Wendy already did this, but she's watching The Crown, and it's really given me a lot of pointers on my new job with the Nation. Like, don't respond to things. That's really hard for me, and Wendy knows that a lot of times when I leave our meetings, my lips are bleeding from biting them.
True. It's probably not just you, Robert, for sure. Yes.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about what happened today, because the words that our young ones were saying were right on. And I got to just say this too. It's really, really for me exciting that our two states think very similar. Our nations here in Minnesota and Wisconsin, I know we're fighting the wolves, we're fighting pipelines, and we also, you know, my land acknowledgement always is, and they stopped asking me, was just give us our land back. But maybe you can talk a little bit about today, what you witnessed, because I thought that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I'm happy to share what I saw today. Was able to travel to Madison today. They had a land acknowledgement, and this is for the whole Madison Metropolitan School District. So this will affect each one of their schools throughout the Madison School District. And it was an effort that was initiated from their NASA, their Native American Student Association. And this group of students, being of Indigenous background, but they also are open to others as well, were, I guess you could say, a little bit inspired when the University of Wisconsin in Madison had done this about a year or so ago, maybe even 2 years now. And they felt inspired by what UW-Madison had done. And they felt that it was important to do it within their own school district. And some of the words that I heard today, and I'm so glad you're focusing on the youth, because this really is what this was. They led this whole effort. And of course, it's a wonderful, great effort that they're leading. So many other people, parents, their Title VI groups, their superintendent, their school board, their teachers, so many people stepped up to help them. And it came to this point today. What's interesting is that when one of the students, when part of this group had introduced herself and then was going on to explain a little bit of the background, she said why they wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. And they explained some of the reasons. And she said they wanted to feel safe. They wanted to feel seen and they wanted to feel acknowledged. And they felt that through doing this and by empowering themselves and then all these groups of support, you know, embraced them and gave them that empowerment to do that. And, you know, it was just absolutely rewarding to be able to be a part of just witnessing everything that happened today and all the support that they had. So with that, you know, the way you said it, it's so true. It just rings true. That it's led by our youth, it's led by our young leaders, and that's what really I think the focus was on today.
Yeah, it really inspires me too, you know, being a former teacher, to see the young ones really take advantage more than I was able to as a young person, and a lot of my relatives too, because of, you know, being an urban Indian is hard because especially at certain points of our existence, it wasn't cool to be Indian, you know, and now it is. And I think the kids are really grasping on that and learning the language and learning culture. And that is just, you know, we talk about that a lot, how we're so proud of the youth.
Right, right. And one of the things that the president of the Ho-Chunk Nation kind of challenged the superintendent with today, we heard him say, basically, bring Ho-Chunk language to your district. So we'll be kind of encouraged to see that when that happens. And we know that our Ho-Chunk language is now being taught in many different schools, you know, especially in my district that I represent. So we'll see how far that goes. I think that was a wonderful suggestion from our president to the superintendent.
Well, and what's interesting too here in Minnesota, as you know, and I don't think a lot of people 40 and younger know this, but and what the president brought up too is that we're from Minnesota too. There were no borders. We have land here, and it would be great to become, and I'm putting this out to me, the 12th nation here in Minnesota represented here. So our constituents can get the same kind of perks that a lot of the people here in Minnesota get for free college and things like that that have come up. So I'm really looking forward to the next 3 years working on that.
Absolutely. Man, that's encouraging too. There's so much out there that although and both of you realize this, everything that we have to fight and advocate for, there's still this balance right now that seems to be occurring where there is progress, and we're seeing that. Mm-hmm. And although we know that there's so much more we can do, we're still seeing so much of this progress, and a lot of it's coming from our youth. You know, these young leaders are watching, you know, especially with the media, with shows like yours. I know they're watching. I know they're out there, and they're going to take the lead here, and they're going to really do some great things. And one of the things I think you might have heard, too, is that superintendent today told them to go big. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was wonderful that the superintendent was just no holds barred. Like, you know, take this. We're here to support you. We're going to do whatever we can to support you. Go big. And that group felt like, you know, they did that because the school district did commit to many things, to put action behind not just a plaque in their schools, but they are committed to making other things happen in the next few years, which is great to hear.
That is great to hear. And Wendy and I, Wendy, right? We love Madison, and we'd live there if we didn't have a beautiful home here in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great city to visit, and we have a lot of fun every time we go there.
And plus, I'd like to put this out there too. And when I was young, I marched in the Madison Scouts from Madison, Wisconsin. Uh-huh. That out, a world-renowned drum and bugle corps. So,
awesome!
I just got to say thank you so much for coming on, and we got to make this a habit because this went really well. This looks great. Your office looks great. You know, but I really appreciate you coming on, and let's do thank this you. Again real soon.
Oh, I would love to. Anytime. I really appreciate it. And I love to share things like this because, like you said, you know, it's about our young people. And this was such a great opportunity to be out there. Want to let everybody know that Wisconsin, with Madison Metropolitan School Districts doing this today, they're saying they were the only one in Wisconsin, the only school district that has done this so far. So this is groundbreaking in their eyes. And I do think they do deserve, you know, those kudos for doing that and for recognizing that group.
Wow, great way to end it. Thank you so much. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
You're invited to a community meeting on Tuesday, April 26th. The Midtown Phillips Neighborhood Association will host a community discussion about the proposed redevelopment at 2603 Bloomington Avenue. Visit midtownphillips.org for developer plans of this six-story building with residential and retail space and a link to join the meeting by Zoom. Again, that's a community discussion about the proposed redevelopment at 2603 Bloomington Avenue on Tuesday, April 26th at 6:30 p.m. Join the Zoom meeting at midtownphillips.org.
Even though things are getting better, COVID-19 is still around and a threat to our public health. To best protect yourself, make sure you continue to wear masks in high traffic areas like concerts, sporting events, or crowded indoor buildings. Wearing masks can help prevent severe illness and reduce the strain on our hospitals and healthcare workers. Wear a mask with the best fit, protection, and comfort for you. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find more COVID information by calling 651-304-9986.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hello, it's Randy Rhodes, Team Randy. Glad to be a part of the lineup of Progressive Voices on AM 950. Tune in, join us weeknights at 10.
The independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect destination for your next book. The friendly staff at Next Chapter Booksellers are great at making recommendations no matter your age or taste. Plus, they have frequent events including book readings and meet and greets with authors. And they sell more than just books. They have a wide variety of puzzles and games, too. So stop in and browse the store off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 26, Tuesday sunny with a high near 47, and Wednesday partly sunny with a high around 48. The Great Wall Restaurant in Edina provides an extensive Chinese menu with an emphasis on Sichuan and Peking cuisine. Some of the favorites include the sesame chicken, cream cheese wonton, and Sichuan duck with walnuts. Located just north of 50th and France on the Edina-Minneapolis border, dine in or order takeout at greatwalledina.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow. We have Dr. Stately on, and he is not doing well health-wise, but in his contract, he had to be on tonight and talk about how he's feeling. So we're glad to see Dr. Stately here. And thank you for coming on. And we have the clock for you, too. So you see that now that you can't go over that bottom number is all the time you have.
11:58 seconds.
Wow. Yeah. We're getting high tech here.
I can see that I'm going to really clearly have to renegotiate this contract.
How are you feeling, Dr. Stately? And by the way, Dr.
I'm feeling better now. I was like the last 4 or 5 days have just been pretty horrendous. My son actually got sick first. Well, you know, I had pneumonia, and then that cleared up a little bit. I got a little bit better last week. Mm-hmm. And then he got sick and was not able to go to school Thursday morning. The other boy was fine, had no fever, took him to school. And then 2 hours later, they're calling me and telling me to come pick up my kid because he has a temperature of 101.
Mm. Oh.
And so we all stayed home. And then Saturday, I took him to the urgent care because it wasn't getting better. It was like, their coughs are getting worse. Their fevers would not go down, even with like, you know, they'd go down a little bit for like an hour or two and then spike back up.
So
I was a little freaked out. I tested one of them for COVID. He was negative. Tested myself for COVID. We were negative. And then the next day we went to urgent care because I was just like, this is crazy. I'm going to figure out what this is because, you know, there's all kinds of things it could have been. It could have been strep, could have been anything, right? So took him in. They were mad at me because I made them get tested for everything. I said, just test them for everything. Bob's going in all orifices. They didn't really like it.
Oh, geez.
Well, with everybody out and about now, you know, and, you know, the masks are half on, half off, we're getting other stuff.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
I'm still wearing my mask.
We ended up being positive for influenza A, which is.
Okay.
It's the type that isn't current, typically like associated with like gastrointestinal stuff, which thank God, because I hate that. Like, who likes throwing, going to the bathroom all the time. But it's more respiratory and it's more, you know, all up your head and it's high fevers and muscle aches and all that stuff. I feel great because I slept 13 hours. I slept 13 hours overnight.
So. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, I'm glad that you're on the other end of it and you'll keep improving now. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's a lot of it is like just so. My son said to me, he was like, oh my God, why am I sick? Like, because they all tested negative for COVID. They tested negative for strep. He tested negative for influenza A and B, but his brother tested positive for influenza A. And he's like, well, why am I sick if I didn't test her? I said, well, honey, because maybe he has the antibodies now. Like maybe in a couple of days you'd have it because, you know, the way it works. So I had to break down basic science to them and, yeah, but why am I sick? I said, well, you and everybody else in your school are not wearing masks. I said, the last two years, you all been wearing masks. So flu hasn't been around. So now it's back. And there's also a couple of other things out there that are hitting small children that are just, you know, like on the New England coast and some other countries, like, you know, this sort of like liver disease that they think maybe associated with COVID, but they're not really sure. Half of the cases have nothing to do with COVID, and are happening with young people that have never had COVID. They also were not vaccinated. They know that it's not associated with vaccines because it's too random. Mm. So, you know, it's just really concerning. So I just said, you know, I explained all those things to them. I said, well, you know, I'm your dad. You're going in. You're getting tested. I know you don't like it, but you know, I'm not going to also let you die on my couch. So there you go. There's that.
Wow, Dr. Stately. Geez. Well, I'm going to this weekend the Gathering of Nations, and I'll be gathering my masks when I go.
Oh, I was going to say, wow, you'd be gathering more than just nations.
Gathering of germs.
Wow.
And viruses. Bacteria.
Wendy, should.
Well, I would imagine that, like in that space, because I think that I have never been there. My brother's gone quite a bit because he owns his, you know, that's what he does with his store. I can't probably say the name of his store, but he goes, you know, for 40 years he's traveled the powwow circuit. That's where he makes most of his connections across the country, but also like it's his bread and butter, you know. So. But he has always said that it was outdoors, like, you know, it's spread out all throughout the city. Like, you know, it's like huge, big, huge outdoor, like one of the biggest outdoor events ever.
Oh,
so hopefully you'll have some reprieve from that. But wear your mask when you're like in those, you know, when you're in those tight tents, really bartering hard for like that merch that you want.
Yeah. And you know, I'll come home with a few t-shirts and Wendy will go, okay, you have 500 t-shirts. Now what?
You have more than 500 t-shirts, my dear.
Oh,
Wendy and I are both telling you right now, you better come home with a t-shirt for both of us.
Oh,
or don't. It's written in my contract, by the way.
Well, now that you mention it, I definitely will. And also, Wendy and I try and get the same T-shirts because we used to laugh years ago when we first were together at the fair that we'd see families wearing the same clothes, you know, so they would be lost. They could find out. Well, now we do that.
you're that couple.
We are that couple.
Exactly.
We are that couple.
That's a good way to put
it. I won't make fun of them again now. Now that I have a face to put through it, I won't make fun of them.
Well, when I do get a shirt, I'll text Wendy and say, do you want one of these? And she says, yes or no. Bingo, we have the same shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. No, I've seen people's comments. Thank you so much, everyone, for your prayers and your thoughts. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, it's so hard because your job, and Wendy, you were going to introduce Dr. Stately as the CEO.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, Dr. Stately is the CEO of the
Native American Community Clinic.
I cannot think today.
Wow.
I didn't have a lot of talking today. That's why.
Wendy painted this beautiful picture of a pig today in record time, and it's seriously beautiful. And then what does it say? It's too cute to eat.
Too cute to eat?
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Oh, there was a question.
I don't think I could do a stick drawing of a pig. In,
like, that. Oh, Wendy just put it up there.
That's really cute. Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow, do that. I'm going to wait. There you go.
For all
listening to us on radio, I'm sorry, but Wendy's
an artist. You're an artist. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I was gonna say that, like, just so your listeners know, those that are in Minnesota, the cases in Minnesota are slowly making an uptick now.
They're four figures for the first time. I heard today.
Yeah, and I think it's like, I mean, I think that part of it is some way to understand it is like, you know, people are out and about now. It's getting nicer. We did have that one day a couple days ago that was like 74 degrees. I was like, what
is that? Was summer. Summer's done.
Yeah, a one day summer. And then the next day it was back to winter.
I didn't go out that day, that's it.
But I was gonna say that cases are on the uptick a little bit. Certainly not anywhere near where we were like 4 or 5 months ago when Omicron first started. But it is a concern, you know, that 93% of all new cases in the state are BA2, which is the Omicron, but the second variant, which is a little bit stronger, a little bit more easily transmissible. You know, people are reporting less severe cases, certainly for those folks that were that have already been vaccinated. But if you don't have a vaccination or you have compromised immune system, or you're elderly and you have these other kind of health conditions, it won't be that easy of a time for you, possibly. And so I just want to encourage people, you know, mask up if you're around your elders, mask up when you're around other people who may be vulnerable. Try to do your best to sort of like, be a good relative and protect other people.
So. Yeah, I know. It's just crazy. I really feel like, you know, I don't have a problem wearing a mask.
Mm-mm. Neither do I. Not at all.
And some people probably appreciate that because
you're one of the rare people on the planet that look better with a mask.
And I don't think I'll ever fly again without wearing a mask. I really don't.
I'm still laughing at Dr. Stately. I mean, with Dr. Stately. Or wait, at myself. Not sure.
Anyway. Those are really important things to pay attention to. Like, you know, we've enjoyed months now with no flu, other kinds of things because of like the protections we were taking. Some of those folks who are salty about having mask mandates, you should be happy that you had a mask mandate. Like, it probably protected you from all kinds of things that were horrible. And, you know, if you remember the hospitals were full with COVID cases. Like, if you had a severe case of flu, you could have been at home dying in your bed. So
exactly. You
know, there's some benefits and there's some gifts that the Creator gives us even when we don't realize we're having them. So
Well, I know one of the gifts was no traffic. If we remember, gas was a dollar.
And I remember that day. God. Somebody posted on Facebook like a year ago, like in January of 2020 or something like that, or 2021, like gas was like, you know, $1.99 or $2. And so it's like, holy cow. What I wouldn't pay to have those days again.
I know. I just don't go anywhere. I really don't. We're going to go to a different restaurant tonight because I know we were originally going to do a restaurant together today.
Yeah.
I think that was today, wasn't it?
I want to say what restaurant. We're going to Everest on Grand. It's an Indian restaurant and they have lots of plant-based options for me.
Right, but they're not an advertiser, so don't mention them. Dr. Stately, I know you're not feeling well. Can you do another segment?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake and back with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Poor Dr. Stately's wheezing over there. He's not even howling.
Yeah, that was a wheezing howl.
Rugged old wolf.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for coming back.
I knew I would start coughing, but I thought,
Man. Thanks for coming back. And geez, I don't know what to say. Wendy, you take over the show. You've been doing so well. This isn't taped. This is a live show, Wendy.
Oh, I was making so many awful mistakes earlier. You should have been on and listening, Dr. Stately. I was really bad.
Yeah.
That's why I know that
my condition is amplified and probably worse than my kids. My kids seem to be okay, but you know, I'm an elder. I'm almost 60. Yeah. I had COVID. The doctors told me I had a lot of scarring in my, not a lot, but I had some scarring from having COVID when I was in the hospital. So I think I'm always going to have challenges and problems with respiratory stuff. And so, you know, but I just like, man, I've been taking everything under the sun that I can think of to help me with improving my respiratory condition. And it certainly feels way better. It feels doesn't feel like an elephant sitting in my chest anymore. You know, more like maybe, I don't know, a 25-pound, you know, poodle or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, one of those large ones.
But I think one of the things I was going to say was that, you know, when I'm going to be on your show, I usually sort of kind of call the news and like listen to things. I listen to, you know, that other news show that whose name will not be mentioned. And you know, and there were some interesting conversations today on that show. One on All Things Considered, they were talking about the new, the most recent antiviral that was given emergency authorization for people with COVID to keep them out of the hospital and keep them from becoming so severely sick that they're the more likely to die. The drug is called Paxlovid. But they were talking on the news tonight about how, like, you know, there was one guy that was interviewed and he was talking about, because he works in healthcare, he knows how to sort of kind of advocate for himself and he understands the treatment methods and the treatment options and those kinds of things. And he got COVID and he called, you know, within like the first 24 hours, he called to get, you know, started on this drug, which is required to actually, for maximum efficacy, you have to start the drug within the first 5 days of getting COVID, right? And how many people actually find out the day that they got COVID? So, like, you know, that window is actually really narrow, right? And so one of the things that he was talking about is that, you know, here it is, this drug. He called his provider. His provider's like, you know, discouraged him. He's like, well, it's not really available. It's really hard to get, you know. It's not even available, which is completely untrue. Because he knew how to sort of kind of like advocate for himself and he understands he's in the healthcare field, he was able to sort of finally get what he needed, right? And within a day, he got the drug and he started the process. But what's interesting about that conversation is that, you know, the majority of the world, and certainly people within the Native community, they don't have understanding about like how to do that, like how to work their insurance or how to make sure that they're advocating for themselves. These are the reasons why we have significantly higher rates of all kinds of things, right? But within the context of COVID, it's likely one of the reasons why we have such high rates of severe illness and death, right? Especially when things were really out of control. So I just think one of the things that we have to, and certainly that's a lot of my work and my role as the executive officer, and president of NAC, is like to sort of like be in those conversations at the state level, be in those conversations nationally with advisory groups to the White House and IHS, is like, you know, we need to address this. This is an equity issue, right?
Right.
And the wealthiest of the wealthiest and the ones that have the most resources are not the ones that need to be having necessarily the easiest way of getting this medication. So.
Wow. Really good.
It's true.
Point.
A very good friend of mine who I just had book club with last night, last week had COVID or 10 days ago. And, you know, she called her doctor right away and she did go to the emergency room because she wasn't feeling very well at all. They gave her that medication, you know, so she got the medication. And, you know, again, like you said, you have to take it within the first 5 days of your symptoms, I believe. You know, she said it really helped her a lot, but she was kind of joking around because she said one of the doctor told me some of the side effects is nausea and diarrhea. And she goes, those are the two things I didn't have with my COVID symptoms. But she felt like she was, you know, checking off her bingo box, you know, of the COVID, of all the symptoms, and she was going to take the medication. But she did take the medication and she said she felt like she recovered much faster than she would have without the medication.
Right. So she did hit bingo then.
She hit the bingo. She did. We asked her. We said, "Did you hit the bingo?" She said, "Yep, I hit the bingo."
So, well, I know when you
had all the symptoms.
When your mom was sick, Wendy, you really helped her maneuver through that cluttered landscape of what we call insurance.
It's very hard. And you know, I'm, you know, a healthcare professional myself, and it was hard for me to navigate. So I can't even imagine people who don't have any, you know, knowledge of the healthcare you know, the ins and outs on how to be able to advocate for yourself and who to call and what to do and what questions to ask. It's really tough. Yeah.
It is. It's very frustrating. But here's the other thing, and that's even more frustrating about that process, is that, you know, poor people and people who are sort of like disenfranchised in all kinds of other ways, if you're homeless, like, how would you ever even know to like know right. about that information if you're homeless? How would you like, so in the corners of our society, like people who are sort of quote unquote lit, like are pushed to the fringe and disenfranchised, they're locked out of all of those resources. And as also, they don't necessarily have the resources that are able to be able to go and actualize those things, right? Like you might know that you should go to the hospital. You might know that like, oh, there's some treatments available. Like, but if you live 100 miles from the closest hospital, or you live 50 miles from the closest place and you don't have transportation and you don't have all these other things, like how does that benefit you? How does that help you? It doesn't. It makes you even more vulnerable, right? And so we have a lot of work to do in our healthcare system in this state and also within the country, you know, and that's like, that's a big part of NAC's mission, is to sort of make, break down those barriers and address health equity and make things a little bit more reasonable and a little bit more accessible for our community, like it is for, you know, the people that live in Minnetonka, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Good call. I mean, really. I mean, Rob just said you can't pay, afford the co-pays and the coin insurance. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I've been saying this for years, I believe if we went to universal health care, that it would change the world. It would change the United States because you aren't married to your job, you know?
It would also transform the economy. I mean, and one of the things that people don't realize is that, you know, the healthcare industry is about a fourth of the economy of the United States.
Right.
Right. So what if we move to a universal healthcare system, and then all of a sudden those healthcare systems that are making millions and billions of dollars have to sort of like kind of attenuate that backwards. That's part of the problem. The part of the problem is the political block that industry has and the lock it has on the healthcare system itself. So,
well, Dr. Stately, thank you so much for coming on. Even though you're not feeling well, we feel better when you do come on and talk to us about these things. Seriously, it's I learn a lot, and it's a great conversation.
Absolutely, and what we were just talking about is, you know, equity for healthcare is really another important conversation that we should have again next week.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm down for that conversation.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening,
I might not feel good, but how do I look? Do I look good?
I look good.
Good. I like the backlighting. It is pretty awesome.
I think maybe, did you put a little rouge on?
Easy. Hey, thank you for Kristen White Eagle, Gina Peltier, and Dr. Stately. We'll be right back, or see you tomorrow.
Mika Wabman.